How's that? There we go. Welcome to our 8 o'clock communion service here at Cole Harbor Woodside United Church. I'm Reverend Michael Mugford. I am pleased to be able to be in ministry here at Cole Harbor Woodside, gathering with the congregation regularly. Visitors with us this morning, a very warm welcome to you this evening, and thank you for choosing to share this holy night with us as we gather. We will be sharing in the celebration of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper here in the United Church of Canada. We practice an open table, so anyone who wishes to come and be a part of this communion service is certainly welcome to do so. We take it on a personal level. If that is something you feel that you would like to do, please do join us at the appropriate time. There is an offering as part of the service. Again, if you're visiting and you would like to leave an offering, it is most generously accepted, but it's certainly not required. And so at the communion time, if you would like to leave an offering, you may leave it in the offering plate. I think those are the introductions I wanted to offer this evening. And so as we gather, our United Church of Canada has sought to walk in right relations with our First Nations brothers and sisters as we seek to live into the recommendations of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And as so, we begin our worship with an acknowledgement of place. I'll read the italicized type and ask you to respond with the bold. We gather in this place with gratitude, acknowledging that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq. May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people. I invite us to sing the first verse of Angels from the Realms of Glory. All of those hymn words will be on the screen. Unless you'd like music, it'll be in the hymn books in your pews. This evening, as we honor the birth of the Christ child in Bethlehem, we light our Christ candle. And we sing. As the flame of Christ begins to burn, let the promise of the ages shine in our hearts. As the great star shone in Bethlehem,
may our light shine in the world each day.
We conclude our Advent journey with Christ's birth.
We begin our worship with light.
Let us pray together. Let your spirit burn in our hearts, O Holy One. Let your light shine in our lives, O Coming One. Let your presence shine in the world, O Comforting One. We have journeyed through the Advent season, and tonight we celebrate the birth of the Christ child once again. May the light of the prophets, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds and the wise ones, guide us to the stable where Christ is born anew. May we have hearts and eyes that are open so that we will see the places where the child is born each day, in our time, in our world, and in our lives. As we journey together, we will welcome and encourage all who would go with us to Bethlehem once again. May it be so. Amen. And we'll sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, 60 in Voices United. It is a long custom in the church to build a creche or a manger scene as part of the telling of the Christmas story. One of the reasons in many of our popular culture presentations, movies, films, television shows, we see churches with manger scenes out in front of them. Goes back to a time in our history as a people where most were not literate and couldn't read the Bible for themselves. And so as a way of teaching people the story, particularly of the birth of the Christ child, manger scenes or creches were set up in order to help people remember the story. And so this evening, as we move through the telling of the story of the birth of Jesus, we will build a crash scene as the story is told. And so Roger is going to be our first reader this evening. First, we will sing a very Canadian Christmas carol, "'Twas in the Moon of Wintertime." We can remain seated, and we're going to sing verses 1 and 2.
About that time, Emperor Augustus gave orders for the names of all of the people to be listed in record books. These first records were made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to go there to their own hometown to be listed, so Joseph had to leave Nazareth in Galilee and go to Bethlehem in Judea. Long ago, Bethlehem had been King David's hometown, and Joseph went there because he was from David's family. Mary was engaged to Joseph and traveled with him to Bethlehem. She was soon going to have a baby. While they were there, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She dressed him in baby clothes and laid him on a bed of hay, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Will be our next reader. First, we will sing verses 3 and 4 of "'Twas in the Moon of Wintertime."
The second reading is from 2 Luke 8-20. That night in the fields near Bethlehem, some shepherds were guarding their sheep. All at once an angel came down to them from the Lord, and the brightness of the Lord's glory flashed around them. The shepherds were frightened, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you, which will make everyone happy. This very day in King David's hometown, a Savior was born for you. He is Christ the Lord. You will know who he is because you will find him dressed in baby clothes and lying on a bed of hay." Suddenly, many other angels came down from heaven and joined praising God. They said, "Praise God in heaven, peace on earth to everyone." After the angels had left and gone back to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see what the Lord has told us about." They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and they saw the baby lying on a bed of hay. When the shepherds saw Jesus, they told his parents what the angel had said about him. Everyone listened and was surprised. But Mary kept thinking about all this and wondering what it meant. As the shepherds returned to their sheep, they were praising God and saying wonderful things about him. Everything they had seen and heard was just as the angel had said.
Our next Christmas carol this evening is "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," 44 in Voices United. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts find their source in you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, welcome to this 2018 Christmas Eve service. I want to just share a brief reflection with you this evening. When I was very young, going to church on Christmas Eve was not part of our family tradition. And in fact, my family didn't really start attending church until we moved here to Dartmouth from Ontario when I was about 10 years old. But so so Christmas was a pretty typical kind of Christmas that most people see portrayed in popular media. There was always a tree. There were always plenty of gifts, probably too many gifts, but there it is. There was always family. Family was always there. There was always room for other people. And there was always love, even if my brothers and I did fight over the toys that we got. So we may not have been much of a church family until I was 10 years old, but I can tell you, I knew the Christmas story. So how did I learn the Christmas story if I didn't go to church? Well, Charlie Brown. I didn't learn it from the Bible. I learned it from a Charlie Brown Christmas. You know the scene. That scene where things have gone horribly, horribly wrong for poor Charlie Brown. He is the director of the Christmas play. Everything's gone haywire. Lucy is bossing everyone around. That poor, pitiful tree that Charlie Brown has chosen. And in desperation, Charlie Brown yells out, "Is there anyone here who can tell me what Christmas is really all about?" And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. But the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And that's what Christmas is really about, Charlie Brown. Isn't it interesting that Charles Schulz chose to use just that portion of Luke's gospel account? In that portion, there's nothing about Augustus Caesar, the most important man in the world at that time. There was nothing about paying taxes, nothing about the journey to Bethlehem, just the story of the angels and the shepherds. Shepherds. Just some regular, everyday Joes doing the work that needed to be done. When everybody else was asleep, they were there, looking after a very precious commodity in first century Palestine, sheep. Wool for clothing was necessary. Meat for eating was necessary. Manure, gardeners, right? Nothing better than sheep manure. So, sheep. Now, shepherds might not have been your first choice to invite to your dinner party, but they were doing a very valuable job in first century Palestine. So, first of all, God chooses the shepherds to be the first ones to hear the good news. And then on top of that, God chooses a little rural community, East Chesetcook, Springfield, New Germany, Myra Gut. He chooses one of those places to become part of our human experience in a different way. Not a Washington, D.C., not a Hong Kong or a London or a Paris or a Berlin or a Rio or an Ottawa, but Bethlehem. God breaks the mold and begins to stand the world on its ear with this one simple act. An act that happens thousands of times every single day. All over the world, the birth of a child. And God chooses that moment. Theologian Robert News writes, "While the rich lounged in purple robes in their palaces, God snuck into a small door in Bethlehem. While tyrants raged and wreaked havoc upon the poor and oppressed, God snuck through a small door in a stable. When the Jewish people dreamed of a powerful Messiah who would free them from occupation by the Romans, God snuck into the loving arms of a teenage girl named Mary, who was probably shamed and shunned by family and community for being pregnant out of marriage. I guess that's the price you pay for being the mother of God. And these ordinary shepherds, smelly, stinky, tired, rough around the edges, shepherds are the first to get the good news. People look to the skies these days to look for dramatic appearances of God, but God sneaks in behind us in the form of a crawling baby. God still does that today. The love of God is revealed time and time and time again in small ways, in small places. The love of God is not revealed in massive stadium revivals, but in regular churches like this one and many others in our community. The love of God is not revealed in world leaders, but is revealed between friends over a cup of coffee in a shop. It's not revealed in publicity stunts and flash mobs, but in the touch of a hand, the warmth of a tear, the comfort of a smile when it's needed most. This is how God's love enters the processes of the world, into our human existence, into our everyday lives. God comes in small, simple, easy to understand ways. As we celebrate Christmas in our warm homes in our first world country, we also, too, need to reflect upon how the God of the universe became part of our human existence. God comes to places and enters places that we do not think of, because that is the ultimate statement of grace and of human existence. God goes to places where we would not expect God to be, because it's not where we would be, given the choice. God enters our lives again and again. But beware. You never know how this God with a divine sense of humor may enter your lives. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
May God be with you. Life is a gift, and we are to celebrate it. May we rejoice in the beauty of this Christmas Eve. Please be seated. We celebrate tonight God with us, beyond our words, beyond our images. For we know God is beyond those things. But tonight we find joy in the image of God coming to us in the form of the Christ child. We sense God's presence in creation, in the immensity of our universe, in the incredible displays of life on this planet, and in our consciousness, something far greater than our mere selves. As Christians, We rejoice at the birth of Jesus. In Jesus, we see the fullness of possibility to make God visible in our lives. Like all of us, he grew in wisdom as he aged. He questioned. He searched for meaning. He shaped his convictions. He experienced love and came to know love's connectedness with God. He stood firmly in his own religious tradition. And he preached good news to all people who were dreaming of a better humanity. We rejoice that he taught us to imagine. Imagine God as one who is as close as our next breath, who is as soft as a whisper, yet as powerful as the focus of our lives, drawing us towards good. We rejoice that Jesus led people to discover sacred in the ordinary of life, in the lowly everyday life, in human yearnings to be better people, in being neighbor to one another. Bread and wine he used, the fruit of the vine and life from the earth. He showed us how to use these things to keep us connected to his story. And so we remember the night before he died, according to our tradition, he shared a meal with his friends. Part of the meal, he took bread, gave thanks to God for the bread, and broke it and shared it with those who were with him. In the same manner, after the meal, he took a cup and poured out the wine. He gave thanks for all the blessings of his life, honoring God so faithfully present in his life and in ours. And in all this, he said to us, "Do this and remember me." We break this bread as Jesus did, remembering the call to love generously and faithfully, whatever the cost. We pour out wine, remembering our responsibility to be bearers of forgiveness, tolerance, and understanding. May these ordinary things be blessed, O God of Christmas love, for they represent both the ordinary and the extraordinary, as Jesus calls us to follow him. Let us pray together. To this commitment, we give our amen and offer it as our Christmas gift to our family and friends and neighbors, as a sacrament to his life and death and resurrection in those days and in our hearts, even today, as we pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. We celebrate communion by a method called intinction. And so what you will be invited to do is to come up either this aisle, if you're on this side of the church, or this aisle, if you're on this side of the church. If you have an offering, you may leave it in the plate and come to the communion station over here and see Susan or Bill or myself and Jonathan take a piece of bread and you dip it in the cup, and then you can just eat it right there and then go back to your seats, preferably by the outer part of the aisles. All right. So you may come as you are ready. You're going to do the cup. Bread. You want to do the bread? I'll do the cup. blessing, Carol. The cup of blessing. 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 The cup of blessing, Claudia. The cup of blessing. 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 Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, amen.
The cup of blessing. The cup of blessing. Let us pray. Oh God, when we sing Away in a Manger, we should think of the many people who are away from home, not with their families this Christmas Eve. perhaps those who are sick in hospital, those who are in prison, those not at home because of work commitments or attending school at a distance, all those who are traveling this night. When we sing "No Crib for a Bed," we also pray for the many homeless throughout our world, those who have suffered losses in hurricanes, fires, earthquakes, refugees from civil wars, those drifting from city to city looking for work. When we sing "The Little Lord Jesus Laid Down His Sweet Head," we must pray for those needing rest, those fearing what lies ahead, those who cannot sleep because of pain, those who are struggling to make ends meet, those who work this night for the health and safety needs of our community and of our nation. When we sing "The Stars in the Bright Sky Look Down Where He Lay," we pray for the light of your love to touch all those who have lost faith, those who need their confidence and hope restored, those who face an uncertain future, for the leaders of our church, our community, our country, and for ourselves. May your love be born afresh in each of us this night, that we may spread the light of your love to others. In Christ we pray. Amen. And as we gather the offering together, I invite us to sing verses 1 and 3 of "Angels We Have Heard on High." Let us pray together. We give you thanks, God, for being God with us. We experience you in the goodness of life, in the love of family and friends, in whatever has been, in the circumstances of life now, and in whatever whole future holds for us. We share what we have, that we may present your light in the world. When we go out, may we share the generosity of the wonderful gifts we have received. Amen. And let us sing "Joy to the World." Our God is not confined to heaven, but has come to be with us.
Thanks be to God.
The promises of God are being fulfilled among us this day and every day in the presence of the living Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Let us go forth from this place in the true spirit of Christmas to share the good news that God does indeed dwell in our midst and calls us to work together for a world of peace and justice.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. I invite you to be seated, and while we are singing Silent Night, we're going to dim the lights, and the light will be passed. We'll start it on the end of each aisle, and I'll just invite you to pass the light to your neighbor. Amen. Merry Christmas to us all. Painter at the outside of the sanctuary here to collect your candles. Just give them a second for the wax to cool and it won't drip on you. Thank you.